Fly down, rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like a kite.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to Destructo Discourse. This is a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Tyler. Joining the discourse on this episode is Gordy.
Hello.
Jason.
Hello, boys.
And Aaron.
It's me.
We're going through some changes right now.
A transformation of sorts? How many of you have holes in your stomachs?
That must explain why I'm so hungry.
It seems just to be the hot new trend in this show.
Just the normal ones.
Yeah.
Is that like gauges where you start small one. And work your way up?
Just the one that's supposed to be down there.
The one that you've had all along?
Yeah.
It's the evolution of a crop top.
As previously stated, this is a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast where we talk about Dragon Ball Z every week. And at this point, I consider you all a font of knowledge on the topic. Would you agree?
I hope so.
Sure.
I am making it up as we go.
As it goes, I think we're fine.
Kind of the mission statement of just sort of spreading the word, the gospel.
Yes, we want our listeners to leave every episode just a little bit smarter.
Have you heard the good word of Son Goku and his friends? Have you accepted your green dad into your heart?
The green dad in the sky? Kami?
Accept green dad into your heart today.
Sort of sharing in this endeavor is a website called Korra.com.
Wait, I thought familiar? We were talking about Dragon Ball Z, not Avatar.
It's with a Q, though. Jason.
Oh, that's right.
If we're going to talk about another anime, it better be Yu-Gi-Oh!
Certainly not Sailor Moon. Not unless Melissa's around.
Melissa's our resident Sailor Moon expert.
Yeah, you just said that out there in the world, Melissa just got like a migraine out of nowhere.
Just fell over.
You put that energy out. It's like when an anime character sneezes out of nowhere. So what kind of information would we hope to extract from Korra?
Well, how familiar are you all with the website, Korra.com?
Yeah, it's like a...
Reasonably.
It's like a classy Yahoo Answers, right?
Oh, yeah, let's go with that. Classy.
Yeah.
Yahoo Answers with a better font.
I'm gonna read you the About page real quick. Why Korra exists. Korra's mission is to share and grow the world's knowledge. A vast amount of the knowledge that would be valuable to many people is currently only available to a few, either locked in people's heads or only accessible to select groups. We want to connect the people who have knowledge to the people who need it, to bring together people with different perspectives so they can understand each other better, and to empower everyone to share their knowledge for the benefit of the rest of the world.
Sounds pretty good to me.
Let's see what these folks on Korra know about Dragon Ball. Maybe we can incorporate it into our own understanding. So this first topic that I found is called, Why is Dragon Ball Z popular?
Because it's good. I know that much.
Dragon Ball introduced many of us to anime. For many people, Dragon Ball was their first anime. As kids, we would run home from school as fast as our legs could carry us, switch on the TV, and put on our favorite cartoon channel.
We didn't run like Naruto yet, because that show wasn't out in the States.
We would put on our favorite cartoon channel only to notice that there was a new show called Dragon Ball. We thought to ourselves, what could this be? Then we were pleasantly shocked at what we witnessed. People with insane power, constant screaming, ridiculously awesome looking hair, and fights that would just serve to blow away the landscape.
Tyler, are you just
reading
your...
right?
Yeah. Are you just reading your pitch for this podcast?
Every day, we would turn the TV volume up and scream the epic Dragon Ball intro music.
Wait.
Which one, though?
Go back to episode one and pick out your favorites, kids. Are these kids just going like...
We would watch Master Roshi be a lovable perv.
Wait.
Yeah.
Hold on there.
Yeah.
Easy champ.
And remember, that everything will be okay as long as we had a Zenzu Bean.
Well,
for many of us, the Dragon Ball series shaped our childhood, and it introduced us to an entire genre called anime. Which is not a genre.
I was about to say.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a medium there, yeah. Bud.
What's the difference?
Yeah, I didn't go to art school.
Yeah. I'm not a fancy draw man.
Yeah, like the genre of webcomics.
Like, webcomic is a genre. TV is a genre.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really pure-hearted read.
Certainly.
It definitely resonates with me.
I mean, clearly that's why it's popular.
I did run home to yell at the TV. And
as fast as your legs could take you.
Yeah. I mean, it's heavily nostalgic. I remember watching Frieza's transformation over at my grandma's house. They were very lovingly confused.
I cannot imagine what my grandmother would say.
Did I tell the Papaw story on this podcast, or was that just Jason, you and I talking?
I don't recall.
I don't remember this.
My first introduction to Dragon Ball, I realize now it was Dragon Ball and not Dragon Ball Z, mm-hmm. but I thought it was the same because they both had Goku. We didn't have Cartoon Network at my house, but like I knew of it, and I'd like heard about these cartoons on this Cartoon Network that I didn't have access to. But my Grammy and Papa had it. And so there was one day we were at Grammy and Papa's house, and I was like, we're going to watch Cartoon Network. We're going to take a break from NASCAR. And and it was an episode, it's been forever since I read Dragon Ball or watched it, but they were summoning the dragon, and it's the one where Oolong wishes for a hot girl's panties.
Wishes for Bulma's panties.
Well, he just wishes for the best panties.
Best ones.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Whatever it was, my papa thought it was hilarious, and he said, now that is a smart pig. This show is not for me. This is a show for papas.
Oolong is hashtag papa approved.
Yeah. So.
Some pig.
That'll do, pig.
The closest I can get, I did show on a like a beach vacation with some extended family.
Mm-hmm.
I did show Spirited Away. Like, I brought it with me. I was like, we're all going to watch this because it's really good. And certain members of the family did not understand what was going on. And I remember my grandmother made the comment, I think he, referring to Miyazaki, I think he'd been eating too many red onions before bed.
That'll do it. That'll make you a brilliant filmmaker anytime.
I mean, if that's it, then I should buy some red onions.
That's the ticket. How about another perspective? Because I want to give a variety of looks.
We keep everything.
That's the key to fashion.
That's the joy of Korra.com.
Seeing other perspectives.
Exactly. So this is a topic called "Why is Dragon Ball Z the best?" Thanks for asking this question.
Yeah.
It sounds remarkably similar to the last one.
I don't have enough words to answer this question. DBZ teaches you a lot. Let's start with Goku.
Oh, bad start, bud.
This guy is the best guy in D-hole anime manga universe.
D-hole?
D-hole.
He can beam. He can fly in the air. This Kong has spiky hair.
Wait, hang on, I was laughing too hard at D-hole, but I don't want to just fly right past the concept that there's a manga anime universe.
Uh-huh.
Is it just one whole universe that all the manga and anime's in?
Yeah.
It is.
And, it's called Shonen
Jump. And this guy
Jump.
Is the best. Do you want to hear why he's the best?
I demand why? It.
Yes.
Why?
He teaches you how to be detached from everything.
Now, do you mean detached or detached?
Detached.
That's
you're not totally wrong.
I just almost spat my water out on my microphone.
I'm Goku and I'm here to teach you nihilism.
I'm Goku. I am empty inside. Damn.
I mean, he is detached from, again, things that are not punch and eat. If you want to learn how to become detached from your family, like your wife and your son,
this is the guy.
Yeah, Goku's probably a great model because he has other things going on.
See, Goku is so gullible and innocuous that no worldly loss can affect him.
Is that what it is?
Is that what gullible means? Or is that innocuous? What innocuous?
Yeah, both of those words. Both of those words seem out of place.
This guy lives for only one thing, to get stronger and stronger. He has zero ego, even though he is like one the strongest guy out there. He is selfish at times, but his selfishness never hurts anyone. Debatable.
Debatable.
And only helps him get stronger.
Alright.
Life has thrown many stronger opponents against Goku, who all have killed or nearly killed him. I like the order that he decided to present.
Yeah.
I mean,
but every time he gets stronger.
He does, in Dragon Ball Z, he does die and then not die, and then almost die.
He never gives up, even though it would definitely kill him. He stands for what is morally and ethically right.
Does he really think much about that?
I don't think so.
He's an empty vessel. He thinks of nothing.
He understands the idea of friends, and that you don't want your friends to get hurt.
Sure.
He has a pure enough heart that he can ride on the Nimbus, but
maybe
in this
pure
case,
it's empty.
I was going to say, it's just blank.
We've been focusing on his empty head making him pure of heart.
I mean, it depends. It depends how you look at it. It, like, is goodness... Is goodness the absence of evil, or is goodness like a positive opposing force? How the Nimbus is coded. If it's like good equals yes, then you can ride. That's one thing.
You just need the full and total absence of ego in order to ride Nimbus.
He is not egotistical.
Yeah.
No.
I'll say that about Goku.
Wait, we can say that much.
Question.
He's selfish, but not self-aware enough to be egotistical.
Did Chi-Chi ride Nimbus?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
I'm pretty sure that's because she's actually good, though.
Right. maybe it's picking up two separate readings. It's scanning two different barcodes here. It's like, well, you're pretty nice, and you haven't, like, you know, said a cuss word or looked at dirty pictures, so, yeah, you're in. You are an empty vessel for which the energy of the universe can flow. Yeah, hop on.
He loves his family and all other innocent people. He can't see them get hurt.
Oh, he sure
can. And he forgives people.
He sure can.
He sure did.
And one could argue a lot of the people that he loves aren't innocent.
No. Vegeta, you were too mean to that man that broke my son's neck with a kick.
How about one more perspective, one more topic?
Please, we need to even out. I'm getting heated in this debate.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got me thinking about ethics.
This is a topic called, is Dragon Ball Z overrated?
My monocle popped clean off.
Are you kidding?
We almost got you there for a second, huh?
Two question marks and an exclamation point.
Just kidding.
If you are, I'll call my Japanese friend that was sent to jail the same time I did.
What?
And he will probably pretend he's never heard of me. Read about it here, and there's a link.
What?
Wait, what?
Okay.
It's kind of a non sequitur.
Yeah, a bit. Was he friends with Kiryu? Like, what?
Anyway, are you kidding?
I'm not.
If you are, bravo, good joke.
Nice one, Jason.
Thank you.
If not, no!
Oh.
No!
You do know Gohan means rice in Japanese, right?
They say, I do.
Changes everything.
They say you should lead with your strongest argument. Present your best piece of evidence first.
Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, and others have shown what it is so incredibly awesome about anime.
That you can name characters after food.
Before my friend and I went to jail, we used to argue over who did a better Vegeta.
That's how they landed in jail. I'm telling you right now. Bar fight over Chris Sabat.
It was quite a battle. We were both so stubborn as to argue out individual options, but never accept the other's point.
Never.
I've never heard of that happening before.
They had a full-on Chris Sabat.
This person has some unresolved something happening.
Okay, the original Japanese Vegeta did a good job. Okay, I'll admit that. But Christopher Sabat is amazing.
Oh, God.
And he voices so many characters. I honestly can't name them all because he's done so many.
I think you could.
I
believe in you.
They were arguing over which of the friends was better at pretending to be Vegeta.
To be Vegeta. What was I talking about again? Oh yeah, Dragon Ball.
Dragon's Ball.
Are you kidding? Dragon Ball is not overrated. I have watched at least 50 hours of pure Dragon Ball, and all of it has been awesome.
I don't think that's all of it.
I speak both English and Japanese. They are both awesome. And that's
it. You definitely haven't seen all of it. You've only watched 50 hours.
Yeah, what's the runtime of this thing?
Wow.
Well, there's 291 episodes of Dragon Ball Z.
I mean, yeah,
that's
We're going to do 100 episodes or so, right?
Yeah.
Around that, yeah.
Which would make it 100. So he's watched half of DBZ.
All of it was awesome.
It was all good.
Are you kidding me? So how do you guys feel now?
Intimidated. We cannot compete with this fount. What are we doing here, man? Podcast canceled.
Learn from Goku. Detach yourself from the idea of comparing yourself to others. And go punch things.
Sally forth.
Contemplate the void. Take a sensu bean. Have a sports drink. It's less filling. And tastes great.
Tastes great. Well, how about we talk about the episodes this week?
I think I can manage.
On this show, we watch 3 episodes of Dragon Ball Z for every podcast recording. And we have made it up to episodes 82, 83, and 84.
Whew, we are getting up there.
I believe everybody joining us tonight is watching the Funimation dub on Funimation Now.
That's right.
Yeah.
Although, I watch it through 2 times. The first to just take it in and enjoy
just to
it.
Absorb enjoy.
It.
Yeah.
The second to take my highly critical notes. but I was having trouble with the Funimation site, so I watched it with my brother, and he had a version with the American soundtrack with all the synths.
You got some of that, huh?
You got Faulkner.
It was very unsettling.
The synth?
Yeah, well, it's just because... I bet it is good. It's just like, I couldn't follow the plot because I didn't know how I was supposed to feel.
Wow, wow.
I haven't learned all the musical cues.
Like, the synthy stuff always made the episodes feel like they dragged a little bit more than usual. It felt like I was just under way too many blankets and my fever was about to break.
Yeah, because you're just floating in the nothing.
Yeah.
It did. I also got distracted whenever it cut to Goku in the tank. The weird, like, do-do-do kind of music.
The tank
just,
sounds.
It sounded exactly like the start to Star Trek. And so that I had to... I love
had
Star
to reconcile.
Trek. So I had to resettle myself every time.
To boldly Goku.
To beam where no man has beamed before.
Boy.
Oh, no. We're crossing over into some fan fiction territory that I am afraid of, but I like it.
I'm willing to go.
Just
I want to know.
Far away,
I wanna...
Dave breaks into a cold sweat.
I want to know. I want to
oh, no.
See the episode.
Something terrible is happening.
This conversation just threw Dave's back out.
Oh, no.
I want to see the episode where Goku shows up to solve Picard's problems. Or they encounter each other in space.
the crew of the Enterprise had to run into Frieza Force at some point.
What does the Prime Directive say about meeting Goku?
About meeting him?
Yeah. Like, surely you have to interfere with him.
I mean,
he's gonna blow up the whole damn universe someday.
But he is spacefaring, so I think it's fine. Does the Prime Directive say pre-warp, or is it pre-spacefaring? Interfering with the internal development of alien civilizations. I mean, they can talk to him.
They can give it a shot.
He's in space, like, flying around. I think they're clear to talk to him.
Sit him down, explain what he's doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 82. The English title is Frieza's Second Transformation.
And the Japanese title roughly translates to Attack Goku, an enraged Frieza's second transformation. I'm not sure why the first part is there.
I was gonna say, Goku does not attack in this episode.
No.
He is tanked.
So to speak. The episode begins with Krillin and Gohan being pretty sure that Frieza's been beaten, and Vegeta is going out of his mind with how dumb that is.
Mm-hmm. These morons just don't get it. It's like they've never watched an episode of their own show before.
Really? Yeah.
Turns out, Frieza's not dead, in fact.
Huh. Weird.
And he and Piccolo go back to exchanging blows back and forth. First one's on the ground, then the other, and they just keep repeating. Vegeta's starting to realize that he was pretty dumb to have thought that he would ever beat Frieza on his own.
Hmm.
And Vegeta's slow motion car crash mental breakdown over these few episodes is very fun to watch.
It's really good.
It is a Metal Gear worthy breakdown of character.
Nobody here understands or respects the dust clearing axiom. Like, which holds this universe together. They've seen it a lot by now, but yeah. they do not get it.
I really love Piccolo during this entire scenario.
Yeah?
We get a moment where he takes off his weighted armor.
Oh, yeah. Clunks to the ground.
That's how you know the shit is happening.
And uh-huh.
He is ready to obviously and effortlessly avenge his people. And the art here is, like, really baller. You got, like, sparkles scintillating off of him and shit. There's, like, a column of painted light happening.
I forget who it is that said that he was gathering all the energy from Nail and firing it at Frieza. I thought that he was literally firing Nail.
Oh, like you'd see his face in the beam.
Like he was ejecting Nail into Frieza.
It's like a nail gun.
Just popping him out like a Game Boy cartridge.
While they're in the air, Piccolo gives Frieza a big old hug. And he calls him a cow-headed clown. And then he slams him into the ground.
Instead of the usual, I wrote down, fuck him up, Piccolo.
He gets his own moment.
Yeah, he does.
He then launches a ki volley for good measure. And then I have a note to myself, because I couldn't recall. Is this our first on-screen attempt at a double tap?
I think it is.
Kind of, yeah.
Because I noted that, too. Like, he's the only one that realizes, hey, there's dust
better...
here.
Better put a little more oomph into it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But the trouble is, the oomph makes more dust.
It's just counter oomph.
While he's doing that, Vegeta is still thinking, it's only a matter of time before I destroy the rest of them.
Holy shit, Vegeta.
And he just admitted he couldn't have beaten Frieza.
I couldn't beat Frieza, but I can still beat you.
What? But he says this while realizing Piccolo's gonna beat Frieza.
Uh-huh.
What makes him think he could beat Piccolo if Piccolo could beat Frieza?
Because he's an idiot, Aaron, and I love him.
He's not. He's not on the level. Not right now.
Of course this is not enough. As we stated, there was dust, so he's fine.
Yeah, you know.
Frieza informs everyone he's still got two transformations left in the chamber. So all of their efforts have been against the weak him.
Oh my gosh, there were some very good lines. First, with Piccolo, when Vegeta, he doesn't even bother, not Vegeta, Frieza doesn't even bother with the dust clearing. He just floats above it when we cut back from commercial. And since Piccolo and Nail are fused, I'm just going to refer to him as Pick-a-Nail.
Sure.
Because they are one being. But he yells, "What's a Namek gotta do?" Which made me so happy.
Who do I gotta beam to get a drink around here?
And then Frieza explaining the transformation, he has a very chill delivery of the line, "You didn't see my first transformation, but I have others." And each time, yeah, my strength becomes much stronger.
My strength gets stronger.
I love that.
Like a constantly unfolding space origami.
He delivers it just as emphatically as if, like, Piccolo came late to a dinner party and missed some of the appetizers.
I'll fill you in.
You missed the canapes, but there's at least a good roast.
Krillin wishes that he sold shoes.
Holy shit, this... Okay, alright, we need to unpack this little cherry. Krillin says, "Aw, why didn't I become a shoe salesman?" To which I made a note here. Well, he lacked the soul.
The thing that gets me about this is, like, it is definitely something he's thought about before. Like, I don't think he grabbed shoe salesman at random. As in,
how,
like,
could you?
As in, like,
yeah.
As in, like, oh, I. If only I had done some other job, like gone into something else. Like, he had that
ready to go.
Like, yeah, top of mind.
Yeah, that AU Krillin was in the chamber somewhere.
He, like, was there, like, a nice shoe salesman that he delivered milk to when he was training with Roshi, and the shoe salesman was like, "Yo, kid, do you hate this?
This could be your life."
A sweet, kindly old cobbler.
He saw something special in the young boy because he had no nose, so he wouldn't be able to smell the foot stink.
He's perfect. He could be the one. He's the promised one.
Oh, speaking of no nose, when yes. At some point earlier... when Piccolo was powering up, we got a really good kind of side-by-side shot of Vegeta and Krillin in profile.
Yeah.
And it was like they were from two very different cartoons. Because mm-hmm. Vegeta is just, you know, our favorite angry big forehead boy. Mm-hmm. And Krillin has no nose, and his eyes take up half his head and are the same color as his head.
Someone's from Teen Titans, and yes. Someone's from Teen Titans Go.
Frieza begins his transformation, his second one, the titular transformation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He sprouts horns from his back, his shoulders elongate, and so does his skull.
Oh boy, it's time to get gross and spiky.
How do y'all feel about xenomorphs?
Yeah, we went from sinister beef bowl alien to goofy anime xenomorph in about a minute.
The head squish sound came back. Uh-huh. Yeah, which was bad.
That was
but
there.
Before that, the first shoulder spikes, they like made my shoulders really itch. Like, oh man, I don't know. It made me think about
just thinking about that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I want cool shoulder spikes. But then Frieza lost his nose.
He's no longer capable of making a big old puss, as Dave would put it.
It's a real shame.
It's a real loss. Mm-hmm. It's. Otherwise, I really hate this form.
Yeah,
I love the design of the alien from Alien. It's uh-huh. like elegant, and it beautifully kind of like walks a tightrope across the uncanny valley of bestial and human.
I mean, it works for that movie.
And
but this
ain't it, Chief.
This ain't it, Chief. It just like his posture is bad. He like is hunched over. He can't.
Yeah, the
like,
way his
look
arms
up.
Hang down look real dumb.
Yeah, he looks real dumb.
It doesn't get. It is not a consistent sliding scale from less to more sinister. It wavers a bit.
He just looks like he's ready to take a dump at any given moment. Yeah.
You know, that's exactly right. You know what I think is happening with this form?
What's that?
I think he's growing his final form inside his head.
It's incubating.
Ew, it needs to birth. Ew. You're not wrong, but ew.
Given the way we see the next transformation take place, mm-hmm. it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I could buy that.
Yeah. I will have
That is a fascinating concept.
Yeah. Huh. I will have a note here that the animators took one look at this and went, oh no. Because this fool, if you look, this fool moves around the least out of all of Frieza's forms by a long shot.
We'll get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's either like in a static pose soaring around, or there's a close up on his face. We do not really get to see him wiggle because he's got a dimensionality that is not fun to draw.
I wrote something down.
Uh-huh.
I think is it about a moment that has passed, but only just by this point.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote down Namekian skeleton ? Because Piccolo, when he double taps Frieza, he cracks his neck.
Oh right. I forgot about that.
Namekians have a skeleton?
You know, just maybe various chambers filled with water.
I mean, they're like they're plant slugs.
He cracks his neck in the same way that you crack a nice stalk of celery.
Okay.
He
damages it irreparably.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Piccolo's one previous advantage, speed, is no longer working out for him. Because even though this Frieza is very static, he's supposed to be very fast.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
And Vegeta remembers that Dende has healing powers, so he begins to concoct a plan.
This plan is fascinating to me.
This is the first time.
Okay, so if you wanna outline this plan for us, Tyler.
We don't learn the full plan just yet, but we'll say that Vegeta decides, oh yeah, Saiyans, when they get beat up real bad, and then they come back from the brink, get a Zenkai boost, and that kid can do it instantly. So if I get beat up real bad, I can get a Zenkai boost.
Someone come fight this! Someone come kick the shit out of this! Like, I've never seen on screen a deliberate and conscious attempt to trigger a Zenkai boost. Like, that owns.
My question is, why do they not do that constantly?
My brother was going to try to be on this episode with us, and sadly he could not, but he did tell me some of his notes from the episode, and he said that Zenkai boosts to Saiyans are like rare candies, and Dende is like missing, though.
Oh, shit. That slot is just going to get glitched out, and you're going to get as many as you need.
If I were a Saiyan,
mm-hmm.
and I had access to some kind of a healing tank, like the one that Goku is in, which can bring him from near dead to full health in 1 hour, I would.
Yeah, but that's an hour,
right? But still,
that's a whole hour of your life gone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. to increase your power that much before I ever set foot on an alien planet, I would do this 1,000 times.
I mean, it takes 10,000 hours to be an expert at anything.
Exactly.
Even a Super Saiyan.
God, I love the little gasp that Vegeta has when he is like, I finally become a true Super Saiyan.
We rewound that moment.
Very good.
Krillin can beat me to within an inch of my life. That kid down there will heal me, and I'll finally become a true Super Saiyan.
I also loved Krillin getting pissed off and going to go have a fuck him up Gohan. Not Krillin. Gohan having a fuck him up Gohan moment.
Oh, yeah.
But then Krillin decides to follow, but Vegeta grabs Krillin and says, Krillin, don't be a fool. But it's fine if the 5-year-old jumps in.
Mm-hmm.
But you're a grown ass man.
Frieza starts firing ki blasts faster than the eye can see, and he tears Piccolo to shreds with them.
And he reveals in the course of tearing Piccolo apart a little bit, Piccolo's big pink knees are gone.
I noted this. Either he popped them, which is terrible, or this is, I mentioned when Piccolo and Nail fused, I was like hoping for like a Steven Universe, like four arms, four eyes, twice as tall. Maybe they were just, you know, such a good match.
That was the only change.
The only change is that he's got normal knees now.
I do have a note for this scene, though.
Yeah.
This is the first time, I believe, on screen we hear Piccolo's race being referred to as a Namekian instead of a Namek. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And it comes from that. Frieza himself. Which is odd.
It is a little weird.
Yeah.
So are most Namekians' normal need? Is Piccolo the odd one out?
I mean,
I've not seen any of their knees. I can't confirm or deny.
I mean, they keep them pretty well covered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They do, in those pants. Yeah.
So it's a well-kept
shameful,
secret.
Shameful, shameful knees.
It's like seeing Vegeta's ungloved hands.
Oh, don't even mention those.
And the last note that I have for the episode is Gohan charging off and Vegeta trying to get Krillin to beat him up for the plan to go forward.
Fuck him up, Gohan.
Fuck him up, Krillin.
Do your best, bud. it's gonna take a few, but yeah, I mean, go for it.
Any other thoughts for 82?
I have three small thoughts. One, I realized after we were done talking about how Frieza looks like an alien, I realized what it is that he looks like more than alien.
Mm.
A really shitty Muppet. That's what he looks like. Just the worst. The worst Sesame Street extra.
I mean, he just joins Dr. Skeksis and that other Muppet that works for him.
Yeah. The second was just, there were several small cuts back to King Kai's planet of Tien and Yamcha just, like, tuning in on the King Kai phone.
Yeah.
For the next few episodes, like, just as part of my note-taking, mm-hmm. I always have been skipping anytime it cuts to them or Goku in the tank, because yeah. I know it provides no new information.
Nothing is happening. They just have the arm, the hands on King Kai's back, or Goku is just saying something that we've already found out. Frieza got real strong!
I did write down an observation that is certainly true in this show. I don't know if it's true of most anime.
Mm-hmm.
The goal for storytelling, like, they tell you show, don't tell, right?
Yeah.
And in this particular show, they do a thing where they show you and then have several different people tell you what they just showed you.
Show and then tell, and then show. Tell again.
Was that the third thing, Aaron?
I forget what the third thing was.
All right, moving on. 83, episode 83, the English title is Another Transformation.
It just sounds exasperated at this point.
Come on.
Again?
More of this?
The animators were not happy.
No. The Japanese title roughly translates to Fear Me! Frieza does battle with a third transformation.
Ooh.
When it opens up, we get a cool slowed down version of Piccolo's theme. As Frieza shoots off his clothing with double finger guns.
That is the leetest of leet motifs. We'll come back to that a lot.
It's useful. Gohan rushes in to help, and he shoots a big ol' Masenko at Frieza.
He will not stand for this.
Puts pretty much everything that he has into it, and he slowly pushes Frieza to the ground.
Given that beam, Frieza's like bear hugging that beam with his arms and legs. It's really funny.
You can see it squishing his face in.
It's really good. What I loved about this was Gohan charging up little energy pulses and sending them down the beam of his Masenko.
I loved the light effects on this. It just... This has seemed like the brightest thing in the show so far.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just... It just looked really bright, and I thought it looked really cool. And it kept it from feeling like a really long arm wrestling match.
I do appreciate, and I think they legitimately do a good job of this, of showing, like, making you feel kind of the escalating power.
Right.
Like, the different effects that they use, and just
even the, like, different ways that they animate certain effects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way they animate them, and just kind of, like, the general flow of the narrative. Like, you do get a sense that people are getting stronger, and it extends the life of the show quite a lot. Like, I think with, like, clumsier writers or clumsier directors or showrunner or whatever, this would fall flat really quickly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it doesn't. Like, they keep it interesting.
I do like that when his tail briefly touches the ground,
yeah.
Frieza's eyes sort of snap to it, like, oh shit!
Oh boy!
I'm already down here! He does manage to push the beam back at Gohan, but Big Green rescues him just in time. Frieza finally gets curious about where the fuck this kid came from. Like, he's not Vegeta's, and he's not that weird bald guy's.
Yeah.
Certainly not.
Probably not the green guy's.
Even though they have the same attacks.
He then decides to get his last transformation out of the way with basically no prompting from anyone.
Well, I'm done.
Because I guess...
I'm done with this.
I guess this one is just too hard to draw.
I mean,
yep.
He's so close. He might as well.
Right.
Worth mentioning that when Vegeta's father staged his rebellion, none of these transformations were necessary.
Correct. And Gordy, you and I were talking at this point about, like, well, this didn't last very long. That was, like, maybe an episode total stretched across two different ones with this transformation. And they spend all of that time dragging out that other one with, like, Krillin being on his head for 10 minutes, and then the weird cat and mouse game in the canyon. Why didn't they add filler for this one? And it probably is just because nobody wanted to animate this thing moving.
Hell no.
No.
So much time. Fuck this. Over it.
Back over at the Vegeta plan, Krillin is feeling strangely apprehensive about helping him kill himself.
I could hurt you if I beat you up too much.
Right, you know
after
what?
Vegeta said, punch me, cut a hole in me.
Jesus.
And Frieza's ability to hear conversations far away from him vastly exceeds Vegeta's.
He has
because he
power?
Hears them concocting the plan.
Yeah, he just... I feel like Frieza chooses not to use this power. He just doesn't care.
Selective deafness.
I love how Vegeta's entire plan is just suspiciously hinging on the kindness and grace of a tiny little lima bean stranger.
A Namekian gnome is the term he uses.
Oh, wow.
With whom he neglects to work out the details beforehand.
At yeah. all.
There is no, like, not even a casual agreement between the two.
No.
When he's yelling about this, Dende looks up at him like, what? Are you talking about me?
It is my favorite part of this plan that at no point does he decide to ask Dende beforehand if it's cool.
Yeah. It's real good.
He's just banking on it. Vegeta wants Krillin to thrash him while Frieza's busy transforming.
I like how Frieza says that he's on a tight schedule.
I guess.
I don't think so, bud. I think you cleared out your calendar for this whole Dragon Ball thing, and I don't think you got a lot to do today.
Yeah. It's time for a Bulma check-in.
Oh, how's she doing? Oh.
She's wandering around in search
child.
Of water.
Losing her mind.
Yeah.
Oh, she's just having a full pink elephants on parade moment.
Oh my
At
god.
At this point.
I made a note here. I was like, is this the result of Frieza's transformation affecting the ecosystem of the planet? Or is Bulma just straight up dehydrated and hallucinating?
I think it's the implication that is to do with Frieza. But it also just seems like a psychedelic freakout.
Yeah.
Like, there's probably some stuff of the earth rumbling and the water having waves, but...
Yeah.
Not zero-G bubbles floating around like psycho amoebas. She's having a psychobomba freakout!
Vegeta keeps pestering Krillin to beat him up, and Krillin finally sends a blast at him, but Vegeta catches it easily. And he berates Krillin to do better.
I think Krillin was traumatized by Frieza licking his lips during the Ride 'em Cowboy moment.
Yeah.
Because yeah. When
drinking his blood.
When Frieza starts his transformation, Krillin just imagines the same thing, but with a real big tongue.
Yeah, I saw that.
He only beams at Vegeta when he sees Frieza lick his lips. And then he, like, closes his eyes and, like...
Remembers.
It's Pavlovian.
Krillin's gotta work through some stuff here, one beam at a time.
So as Vegeta berates him, Krillin does blast a massive hole in Vegeta's chest.
He gets fucking Mankanko Zappo'd right up in there. It's an open palm one, not the finger, so that is a palm-sized
oh, yeah.
serving of hole through your chest.
And Vegeta laughs all the way to the ground. Knowing that his plan to be a Super Saiyan is definitely gonna work.
It's so weird that his beam pierces right through the armor.
Yeah, it's not a blade or anything.
We've talked about how this the armor is beam. It makes me wonder, like, with Destructo Disc, and we've talked about how people's, like, energies are different.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Krillin's energies and energy attacks are just sharp.
Sharper.
Could be.
Goku and Vegeta are blunt instruments. Like, Goku's just a real big hammer.
I could see that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Vegeta tries to convince Dende to heal him, but Dende refuses. Whoops.
Mwah, mwah.
And he just sort of leaves him to die. He runs over to help Piccolo slash Nail.
Yeah.
And this is the point where Frieza, during his transformation, notices that these guys are getting free heals.
I believe his response to that was, oh. in the same way that when Frieza learns that if Guru dies, the Dragon Balls die.
He doesn't like learning all these new things about Namekians at the last second.
They have a lot of surprises in them that are usually bad for him.
Krillin and Gohan try to coerce Dende into helping Vegeta, but the little guy wants to stick to his morals.
Oh, damn lawful good.
He's not going to help somebody who took part in the genocide of his people.
Hey,
fair.
Good 100% point, dude.
Fair.
Yeah.
Great point.
You're like the only one who has a goddamn moral compass.
Makes me wonder, like, why does Piccolo... I mean, pick a nail. Why does Piccolo and Nail argue for Vegeta?
I mean, they know that they need his help, I guess.
They know the numbers, maybe.
Yeah, that comes up a little later. I wonder if Nail fusing with Piccolo, because it's Nail's voice that comes out. I wonder if Nail learned from fusing with Piccolo the effect that Gohan and crew can have on the evil people.
Yeah, I don't know. Mm. It could be. I just thought that Piccolo was using Nail's voice to play against Dende's feelings.
That is also possible.
I made a note here that this whole scene was turned into like a weird art film because the music all went away and it just flashed between Frieza hollering, transforming, his skin glowing and crackling, and just the quiet like beep 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 of Dende healing Piccolo with no music at all.
Weird choice.
Yeah. I was waiting for the Dutch angles.
Dende does finally relent, and he goes over to heal Vegeta, and Vegeta thanks him by kicking him to the ground.
Vegeta is such a shit.
He's such a shit.
I love him, but he's also the worst.
He's a shit.
Yeah.
The last note that I have for the episode is that Frieza's transformation finally ends. He explodes out of his fucking shell, evidently.
His head hatches.
Yeah, it shatters. And we get a glimpse of the new Frieza, who's pretty sleek and svelte looking.
He is beautiful.
I was like, this is great because it captures and streamlines all of the like design notes for Frieza's earlier forms, like the lines down the face and the head thing and the chest, and you got the tail, and you got like how many colors do we need to animate you? Like two or three, maybe. It's super streamlined. It's going to be fighting a lot. It's easy to move around in.
Oh yeah,
like this is a designer's dream. My question is, I wonder what the order of operations was. Was this final form designed later, or was the first form designed and Akira was just like, okay, well, we're just going to rein this in to look like a sports car.
Yeah, I do wonder like why he went so different with this one. I appreciate it, certainly.
Yeah.
I mean, it stands out.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Right.
When you're playing DBFZ, you ain't playing Frieza Mach 2. You're playing this Frieza. I will have a note for this transformation animation. It blasted a hole into the atmosphere. Like, there is a moment where we can see clear out into the starry night sky of space. I was like, I love atmospheric and environmental effects like that to give us a sense of scale as to the sheer force going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, big fan.
Did we compare this form to something when we were watching it? I can't remember what it was.
One of my memories from childhood. And the playground chats that we would have about this show, sort of like a water cooler talk.
Mm-hmm.
after watching new episodes, and a friend of mine, after watching this episode, said Frieza turned into Mewtwo.
Shit. You're so right. And you can you can unlock Frieza by equipping the strength TM and lifting the truck.
You just gotta push the truck.
Yeah.
Frieza's waiting for you.
Yeah. Like, they do, apart from kind of body shape, it does read very similarly.
There are some similarities.
Got the big old legs.
Same sort of color scheme.
Purple. Weird ears.
Off-white.
I loved this form. I cried a little bit, I'm gonna be honest. Just because it's... Okay, so, like, I'm non-binary, and we've talked a little bit about how Frieza is queer-coded to hell and back.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
But, this form is like, one of the first... Like, I think probably besides, some of Steven's fusions in Steven Universe. Mm-hmm. This is, like, the closest to the idea of what, like, a non-binary body would look like that I've maybe ever seen. And, I don't know, it was just... It was really... It touched me. It was really cool. I really like
it. It is a good look.
It's a really good look, and it's very, androgynous isn't quite the right word, but it's got, you know, this mix of masculinity and femininity.
Yeah,
that I think the voice mm-hmm. contributes to that.
The voice mm-hmm. really contributes. Yeah, it's just like without the purple shoulder bumps, like the shoulders would be really small, and
mm-hmm.
his hips are slightly like larger proportionally. I thought, I don't know. It was really cool.
It's definitely a good break from form, because we always see, like, Dragon Ball style stuff is used to the idea of, like, the biggest, beefiest silhouette is the one that is going to fuck you up today, Martha. But here we see this, like, very sleek, like, very feminine silhouette, you know, without a very lean muscle, you know, not a lot of, like, straight-up beefiness. And we know that this form is going to fuck up your Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, fuck up your double Sunday.
Oh, for sure.
It is a very, like, kind of demure form, I guess, for mm-hmm. like, what is at this point the ultimate expression of power.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Emperor yeah. of the universe, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it is not...
I do think there is something to that. Like, he is the ultimate power as we know it. Right. And this is how he presents.
Right. Like, he is not, I don't know, the Saiyans are pretty straightforward as a group. Like, they're a pretty big muscled bunch. Like, Nappa is very straightforward. Mm. Like, Nappa's big, he has many big muscles, he has a deep gruff voice. Like, he's got
a killer stash.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's it. We know what he's about. Like, this is an interesting... Is juxtaposition the word? An interesting... I don't know, a confluence of signs.
It's kind of a subversion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Subversion. Of what you would expect. Even considering his previous transformations of just getting bigger and longer.
Right, right.
Yes. And then he compacts again. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'm 800,000% sure that we're reading into this on a level that the creator in no universe had intended, unfortunately.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, but that's not how art works, Jason.
Exactly. That was good.
Not how art works. How many Dragon Ball Z podcasts are going to give you this?
Right. Where else are you going to find Madame Acorn Squash being a bad chick?
Any other thoughts for 83?
There was some really good... I really loved the dynamic between Piccolo and Gohan in this. Because after Piccolo does his cool backhand to rescue Gohan from himself, Gohan just has this really cute smile. And it's like, I guess I owe you. But Piccolo just says, phew, that was a close one. Like, the whole idea of owing somebody is just out of the equation now. Just gotta keep my not green boy safe. And then later, after Frieza's done shooting Piccolo up, with his finger guns. Piccolo's just, honestly, we've got to get out of here right now, and falls. Gohan catches him. He says, "You okay, Piccolo?" He says, "Not sure." And I love how honest that was.
Yeah,
it's a good moment.
I'm not gonna sugarcoat this for you.
Not looking sure. Great, kid.
Can't fly, so it's a bad sign.
Episode 84. The English title is Dende's Demise.
Oh boy.
Oh no.
I wonder what that means.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, the Japanese title is here to fill it out for you. And there's an interesting note here. All right, I'm going to read it for you. It translates roughly to "The Death of Dende. Come forth, intense Zenkai power." Now, the note here is that at the "come forth," that is both the title of the credit song that we've been hearing all the way through for Funimation now with the Miracle Popcorn Shower, and it's part of the lyrics. Like, that owns. I love that, actually.
Yeah. Krillin doesn't think that the new Frieza looks very tough, because at some point, I guess Krillin forgot to sense power levels and not just use his goddamn eyes.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's thinking, like, well, there aren't any horns to, like, pierce me, so we're probably good.
This seems friendlier to me.
What's he gonna get me with a weird little square earpiece? No, I'm fine.
First things first, Frieza has noticed an exploit, so he issues a patch. Before anything else, he blows up the healer.
Holy shit, there goes your infinite Senzu Bean.
Piccolo, Gohan, and Krillin are all trying to fight Frieza at once, but he's just too fast for any of them, and he dodges every single blow they throw at him.
I made a note here that said, "Fuck him up, Gohan," and I guess Krillin, and okay, Piccolo, sure, alright.
Well, you can hop in there.
Well, yeah, maybe not Krillin.
And it's time for the "I'm dodging everything you throw" phase of every Dragon Ball fight.
Vegeta, who's now back up on his feet, is the only one who's fast enough to keep up with Frieza's movements.
I wondered what Vegeta was doing up so high, and then I realized, oh, he's the Seeker and Frieza's the Snitch!
He's just waiting for his chance. He tries to warn them all when Frieza pops up behind them, but he's too late. And Frieza sends a blast towards Gohan, because I guess he's trying to finish off the little kid faction first.
Holy shit, this turned into like a fucking black and white Tarantino shot here.
I love this black and white effect.
It was really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a manga panel.
Like, he's done playing around now. Mm-hmm. His final form is out. Ready to...
It's time to start killing.
This turned from a fight into a checklist.
Shot a kid.
Vegeta very nobly knocks Gohan onto his face.
That's the only way he knows how to do a mercy.
Yeah. Oh, God. I did appreciate the juxtaposition of this and Piccolo's sacrifice. Where Piccolo takes the blast and Vegeta just knocks him down.
Oh, Vegeta.
Oh, Vegeta. So there were two good things also about this. The island that takes the blast for Gohan, it doesn't just explode. It just escapes gravity. It goes to space.
Bye. Goodbye, island. Have fun, island. I wonder what kind of frogs and other creatures are on you that are going to space now.
On the island?
Yeah.
Is it Ginyu body with the frog brain?
Is that how he gets off the planet?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
He was behind a rock.
Yeah.
But then Vegeta has a very, very good... What's the word for when it's... I like you, but I hate you. The way that cactuses are.
Tsundere?
Yeah. He's like, I didn't save you. You're not even worth it. And Gohan just says, huh? And blinks. You
did save me.
You did just save me.
That's what happened.
Vegeta, who is 100% a Super Saiyan.
For real this time, you guys.
He decides to take on Frieza all by himself again, because he can do it this time.
He's ready to do a big ol' holler.
I love Frieza's smile at this.
Introducing, for the very first time, Super Saiyan Vegeta.
He causes the landscape texture to despawn, leaving only a wireframe.
Take a quick trip to the digital world.
Why does he go to the fucking morphing grid?
Yeah,
because he's becoming a Super Saiyan.
He needs more sparks, and he needs to lose his pupils for a bit.
Frieza's not impressed, but Vegeta's powering up real big, and he begins his assault on Frieza by throwing a rock at him.
Yeah, wow. Great opener there, bud.
His hair glows yellow for a minute. And my... Okay, I was so mad. When I was watching this with my brother, this tricked me. Because I said, yeah. Oh my gosh, is he going to be a Super Saiyan? Because he's glowing yellow. And my brother said, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, oh.
Yeah, definitely.
Whoa, I'm so proud of him. I thought for sure Goku was going to be the first one to go Super Saiyan. I'm so proud of my boy. And then he didn't. And I was like, wait, his hair's not yellow.
You ever have friends who are liars? How do you do yeah. that?
I don't think I ever noticed until watching it this time that how they do sort of tease it with the yellow glow to his power.
Yeah, shit.
It was very it, with the shadowing and the yellow, it was very similar to like when Frieza was first telling the story of the Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
And like we had that image of the mysterious great warrior from space who couldn't control his power.
Yeah, he's not quite there yet. He's still trying.
Mm-mm. Although I did make a note, did he get like slightly beefier and just really fill out his space jammies? Because it's
I think he might
have.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a lot stronger.
There's one hell of a hole in his chest.
Yeah, he's flexing those muscles because they're laid bare to the world now.
I have said this before. I desperately want a live leaderboard at the side of the screen that will update people's power levels in real time.
My only remaining note for this episode, kind of a light episode in content,
yeah.
is Vegeta keeps trying to fight Frieza. Frieza's not very fazed by the output.
I believe the quote here is, "An unsuper Saiyan if ever I've seen one." Or no, he says, "Not so super a Saiyan."
Pretty good burn.
He's got a few of those ready in the chamber.
Right, yeah. Any other thoughts for 84 other than bye, Dende?
Mm-hmm.
Bye. Such an unceremonious exit.
Bye, Dende.
Adieu, mon Dende.
But if we know anything, death means nothing.
Right.
Unless you're not a main character.
Yeah, maybe we'll see him again.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll see him in the other world.
Maybe he's not important enough.
Maybe he's not. He got a name. But so did Cargo.
They are actively trying to bring back Chaozu, so that is at least
Chaozu doesn't
minimum.
Even have healing powers.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, we've seen more of Dende than Chaozu, right?
I think so. At this point,
I think Dende's been on screen more.
Yeah,
he's had more speaking lines.
Yeah.
Anything else for the episodes this week?
I also wrote down unlikely Krillin, but I don't remember what it was about.
I mean, do you need context
just
for that one?
Yeah, no further context available. I did write that down.
He wouldn't have been a very good shoe salesman after all.
Probably unlikely. Not. All right, well, it's time to check in with our friends over at Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Hey, Satan.
So we know that the bad chicks, Hercule Satan's sworn enemies, and kidnappers of Videl, kind of,
we guess, maybe,
are on the hunt for Dragon Balls.
It's a custody dispute.
And they have at least one in their midst, because Videl is holding on to the four-star ball, the Gohan, which coincidentally was a rock that had been gifted to her and turned out to be a real Dragon Ball.
Good old Turtle. I bet he knew.
He probably knew.
He knows what those look like. He's been alive for like 1,000 years or whatever.
He knows what a Dragon Ball looks like when it's a rock.
He can smell it. The man himself, Mark Hercule Satan, also somehow stumbled on a Dragon Ball, not meaning to, and he found the 5-star. So he has decided to set a trap for the bad chicks, I guess at the East City Museum, by giving them the 5-star ball, knowing that the bad chicks will come looking for it. He has advertised it on Zenzu Briefs, the Farmers, a rambling conspiracy theory podcast, which is now named Dynamite Discourse.
I have two very important questions.
Yes.
At the end of Dynamite Discourse, but before the very end, do they have a section in which they check in on not the main conspiracy theories? conspiracy theories?
Such as?
I don't know. The moon landing.
Is that not a main conspiracy theory?
Not in this world.
You're arguing whether or not the moon actually blew up or if that was just a projection.
Is the moon real?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
there's now an answer to that question, and that is no.
But do they know that?
Yeah, that complicates it a little bit because there was projection.
Mm-hmm. The truth is out there.
They at the end of their podcast, they just check in on the main characters. They hypothesize what like a this one guy called Goku I know about. What's he doing? He's probably in
tournaments a while back. What's he up to?
Yeah, I haven't seen him on any of the social media. He's all washed up.
What about that Bulma briefs?
My niece, I guess.
But oh, does it, I thought that he didn't remember that he was the brief scion. That was
no,
part
he knows.
Of the deal.
He knows now. Right?
He's bitter about it.
He's yeah. Okay.
Nobody believes him because he's a conspiracy theorist.
She may be the heiress to a false prophet of all technology, but she's got some pretty on-point fashion. My question to you is, what is on this, what is in this art museum exhibit? And how is everybody dressing to the opening gala?
It's black tie only, obviously.
Naturally.
In the evening. Very, very hoity-toity.
Wouldn't have it any other way. Black tie, but he still has his brown gi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a clip-on.
Black and brown.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
The best combination. Mm-hmm. Is the full girl crime squad showing up?
Oh, yeah. They move as a unit.
Oh, they are fully committed to the bit. I'm talking like foot-long cigarette holders, like sparkling evening gowns, like dripping with jewels, like...
I assume Panchi is wearing a dress with a particular cut, so she could keep up her thing.
You talking about Ranfan?
Yeah, sorry, Ranfan.
All of her gowns are tear away.
Just so she can resume her bit.
It's mostly see through.
It's called a reveal.
It's called a distraction while your friends rob the museum.
Oh, well, maybe
it is
that's
also
it.
There you go. It's a diversion.
Mm, yes.
That's a way to do it.
Is Faye Valentine in this, yes or no?
That's up to you, because you were the one who submitted it.
Okay, I don't remember how far Faye Valentine's involvement went.
I mean, she carries the briefcase.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, well, we can bring her back in at some point.
Hell yeah, I mean, a high-profile, like, art thing, this is fully, like, Faye Valentine in, like, swooning, disguised face, like, fawning over the ball. Oh, absolutely, this is, if ever an alley she had, like, this is right in that wheelhouse.
This is up it.
So, Jason, you were asking what else was at this art museum?
Yeah. I was gonna say, it might be just things Mark found that he thought were neat.
Special gemstones of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
Chaotic emeralds.
Oh. Wait.
Perhaps
you mean the chaos emeralds?
Well,
we're gonna say which chaos emerald is there? All of them? That's too dangerous. I'm gonna say the clear one, the one that you get at Casinopolis in Sonic Adventure, because that one's so easily overlooked, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was one of my favorite stages, so that one's there, on display.
What's the new one? The Phantom Ruby?
Oh,
that one's there.
You mean the one wielded by Infinite?
Yeah. And the robot crew in Mania.
Oh, yeah. Those hard-boiled heavies. They're there in the background because you really can't tell the difference between them and Capsule Corp droids.
They're just mingling with the other Capsule Corp droids. Clinking glasses together.
Mm-hmm.
Toasting each other's hard drives.
Do you smell fan art? Because I smell fan art.
To your hard drive. May it forever spin. I don't know. What do hard
and
drives
And he tried
do?
To use my CD port as a coaster. Can you believe it?
Oh, K69, you do go on.
Trying to think of other, like, anime and game collectibles that would be on display in this hodgepodge museum.
The Power Stones from Power Stone.
Yeah, they got the Power Stones, they got a Master Ball.
The Millennium Puzzles.
Oh,
they got
hell
the puzzles.
Yeah.
The Puzz.
A Blue Eyes White Dragon.
Holographic on loan.
In the distraction, it suddenly goes missing as well. There's later a Seto Kaiba-shaped hole in the wall.
God, what if all of Yu-Gi-Oh! Just took place in this universe? And like all of the shenanigans of this universe had no effect because they're busy focused on card games.
I can't wait till we get to cover DBZ Reigns.
Damn.
Some people are focused on muscles. Some people are focused on cards.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Brains never, and brawn.
Never the twain shall meet.
I mean, if we want to go, like, full-on, like, things that will show up on a Think Geek bundle at some point, we'll say the Sonic Screwdriver's there, and the Elder Wands, and the Master Sword.
The Deathly Hallows are there. Mm-hmm.
They got the first Mobile Suit Gundam preserved.
They got Katniss Everdeen's bow.
And Katniss Everdeen. She's also part of the exhibit.
They're all in the young adult section.
There's just a terrarium of young adult protagonist characters.
Terrarium? Kept separate.
Guy from The Giver is talking to the guy from The Maze.
They have Percy Jackson in his own habitat.
This went to a place.
I love this museum. Quite frankly.
Hey,
this is a very good museum.
I had a strong hunger for some young adult fiction, and I checked out a bunch of young adult books. The first one I'm going to read, I've got it right next to me here, is called Undead Girl Gang.
Oh,
I'm so excited for it.
I like those words. And
it's
the
by
order that
Lily Anderson.
Ooh.
By Louis Anderson?
Lily Anderson.
Oh. Oh man, I thought you meant the Family Feud host.
Survey says
I was gonna end this now and go buy it.
Oh my god.
We absolutely cannot devote time to this, but I do want to say it out loud just so it will leave my brain.
Please.
Yeah.
But also during the commotion of the heist, Artemis Fowl breaks out all of the other YA protagonists.
Hell yeah.
And they go have their own adventure.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
All right.
And we will never think about it again.
We are causing Dave so much pain right now.
We have to get this all out while he's away.
He's going to hear this and his spine will curl. We'll see him next with just a shock of white hair.
This museum, I think, just happens to sit on kind of a nexus of space-time.
Like the Hellmouth in Buffy.
Yeah, or like just all realities converge.
It's a combination museum and library. You can travel to other worlds just by reading a book. Go read a book, kids!
Like in Myst. The video game?
No, we're talking about books.
Yes, me too, kind of.
LeVar Burton is the caretaker of the museum.
Gosh, he's disguised as a janitor, but really. He's
a genius janitor like Matt Damon.
So what is going on?
I do have a Dragon Ball Z-related suggestion.
Yeah, get us back on track.
Someone else who I have really missed, mm-hmm. and we haven't talked about in a Hail Satan.
Yeah.
Ever?
I don't think so. Princess Snake.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, she's been biding her time out in Otherworld, but like having Goku in there gave her a taste of, I don't know, people who aren't her.
Awoke a hunger within her.
Yes.
So I wonder if like she's wanting to walk the mortal realms again.
I love this. She had the biggest off-screen I want song in this entire show. She's got a whole palace to go full floor show on, and we didn't see a single frame.
I need a quick clarification from this esteemed board of individuals.
Yeah?
Is she real?
I'll say she's real.
What do you mean?
I mean, she was a projection of a bigger snake.
She's a supernatural entity, so I think the lady and the house and the snake are all her.
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
She is, in fact, Howl's hissing castle.
That tracks.
She assumes whatever form she needs.
Yeah.
Which is sometimes a castle and sometimes a woman.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes a snake.
I mean, a lot of times a snake.
Yeah, very, like 87% of the time a snake.
Sometimes
a big
bus.
Old snake.
Who knows?
Sometimes a bus.
So, the question, would she have a need for the Dragon Balls?
I mean, nobody doesn't have a need for the Dragon right. Balls. That's the thing.
Everyone can find one.
It could... Okay, I got it. Okay. So, the T-Rex and the saber-toothed tiger are in Otherworld.
Yes.
They need training to go defeat Gohan, so they're going down Snake Way. They get distracted by a snake, but...
Yeah?
It's Princess Snake. And then they're like, we're not men, we're a T-Rex and a saber-toothed tiger. And she's like, oh, cool, I'm a snake. And they hang out in our friends because they're all animals. And this is my personal Disney movie. And they do a spell so that she can walk the mortal plane for, I don't know, a limited amount of time. And she needs to find the Dragon Balls to make a wish so that she can stay there and not have to be banished back.
She can travel between Otherworld and the mortal plane.
Mm-hmm. Does she have to give up her voice?
Yeah, how do you make this more of a Disney movie, Aaron?
So wait, does that mean that Baba is the one, is the Ursula here? Is she the one going for unfortunate souls?
No, I think it's the saber-toothed tiger. Because the
tiger
got
is
stuff.
Ursula?
He's got stuff to say, but he doesn't have a voice to say it.
How do you say body language in tiger?
If you spell Baba backwards, it spells Ursula.
It does.
That's right. You got it. Cracked it.
A lot of people think it's a Bab, but they're wrong.
It's Abab. The worst ABBA cover band.
Abab.
They just talk about doing crunches all the time.
They're the ones playing at the museum.
Abab.
Yeah, with special
workout songs.
Workout songs by Abab and catering by the landing pod. This gala sucks.
This is gone so far afield.
But Hercule thinks it's going very well.
Oh, he's loving it.
Okay, so let's finish off this segment. They're at the museum, this bizarre museum.
Mm-hmm.
The Dragon Ball is on display. Ranfan begins her distraction. How does it end for tonight? We maybe don't need to resolve it immediately, but what's the next play? Who bumps into who? What's going on?
Arale is in disguise as somebody offering hors d'oeuvres.
Okay.
And bumps into everyone. Faye Valentine is lowering Beelzebubra from the ceiling.
The ceiling.
And the lights go out, and we hear a sneeze. And the episode
Uh-oh.
Ends. We cut to credits.
Uh-oh.
Credits roll.
Can we say that Hasky is in the van outside just doing intel?
Oh, Hasky is for sure getaway driver.
She's got the grid of the museum on a 3D display, feeding everybody info on who's moving where.
Like an Escape from New York.
How close is launch to an everybody down moment? Because I feel like that is just on the cusp.
That's the dramatic question of the sneeze. Which launch was...
Who's it
going to
be when the lights come back on?
Right. Was she... tough launch, and then she sneezed, and now the plan's gonna go awry because now she's nice launch?
She's timid launch?
Or was she timid launch, and the plan depended on her, like, being cool,
and now the plan will go awry?
I mean, either way.
That's a good cliffhanger.
Well, we will find out next time. Until then, Jason.
Yeah?
Do you have a 4-star reading for us?
I sure do, bud. As some of you folks may know, various characters in Dragon Ball Z have canonical birthdays and thus have canonical astrological signs. So what we like to do at the end of each episode is to flip open to the horoscope section and to give someone a little bit of a reading. The subject of tonight's 4-star reading is someone who does not have a canonical birthday, but we reverse-engineered one using the launch date of his manga, which aired on November 7th, which would make Vegeta a Scorpio. I figure Vegeta's had a pretty prominent role in this chunk of episodes, so I thought I'd give him a little bit of a push in the right direction and see if he takes my words to heart, being, you know, a series of drawings from the 80s and 90s. Alright, Vegeta, here is your reading. Skepticism is running rampant around you today, and no one will be off the chopping block. You might have to exert most of your energy just trying to convince other people that you aren't working solely for your own personal gain. Your generosity can just be so strong that some people may think that you're just too good to be true. But let your actions speak for you in every situation you encounter, and try not to become the person who complains too much.
Well, thank you all for listening again. I appreciate everyone who tunes in for each episode every week. Jason, where can the folks find you?
Well, on the internet, you sure can find me at Twitter and Tumblr, and the name for both is JCalves, that's JAYCALVES.
Aaron?
I don't do much on the internet, but in the physical world, not the digital world, if you are in the Southwest Ohio area of the United States, I perform at the Dayton Black Box Improv Theater every Wednesday, and there are shows every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, so you can come see me and see other cool shows.
And Gordy?
You can find me on Twitter at Gordon Murphy DEV, and then you can find me and Tyler on our other podcast, What the Folklore, which comes out each Tuesday and Sunday.
If you'd like to contact this show directly, there's a myriad ways to do it. You can talk to us on Twitter, and to do that, you will go to @destructo_disc, D-I-S-C, where you can also see illustrated versions of Hail Satan. You could send us an email at destructodiscourse@gmail.com, or you could join our fan-oriented Discord server. The invite to that is permanently pinned at the top of our Twitter. If you'd like to help other people find out about the show, you could go onto iTunes or Apple Podcasts, and you could give us a rating. And when you do that, I encourage you to do a 4-star rating.
But that's not the biggest number.
Yeah, why not 5, Tyler?
10 stars.
Ah!
Oh, that's twice as big as 5.
Do they go that high?
They do on the secret one.
If you have iTunes and 100 times Earth gravity.
The Black Star iTunes.
Black Star iTunes.
Give us 4 stars because that's the Gohan ball, and we want you to give us the Gohan.
He's the only good boy on this show.
If the spirit does overtake you to give us 5 stars, please do specify that it is for Dynamite Discourse.
Yes, thank you. We need to separate our demographics, and it's just very useful for our analytics.
How does Dynamite Discourse end?
How does it end?
Yeah, does it also have astrology?
I mean, almost certainly it ends in tragedy.
Well.
Of some kind.
You mean like...
It ends with Hercules reading off a joke from a Laffy Taffy.
Yes. Good. Perfect.
He eats a popsicle for the whole episode, and then you get the joke at the end.
Yeah, it starts with the setup and ends with...
That's their ASMR episode.
Thank you all for listening. You have been listening to Destructo Discourse. We will see you next week.
Goodbye, humans.
We've only been getting warmed up.
Oh...
Just
like
kidding.
That.
We're done.
We're done. Goodbye. Get out.
Get out of my house.
If the road ahead you seem so cold and gray, when night never turns to day, don't you be afraid, go fly away. Chala, chala, no time to surprise. Oh, chala, hey, chala. Be cool, don't be afraid. You got the power to get you through the night. Oh, chala, hey, chala. No time to hesitate. Gonna search the earth, within it by the magic surprise. Oh, chala, hey, chala. Power to get you through.
That seemed pretty good.
That felt good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret. Mine lagged before the second one, but I guessed, and I was right.
As long as it works.
That's seeing intuition.
You can't watch them with your eyes. You gotta follow the time with your energy.
I used the heart of the clock.
Feel it out.
My grandpa taught me.
Just as long as no arrogant CEO steals your really good clock.
Steals my grandfather clock.
My best clock! My millennium clock!